Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. In the last show, we were talking about rules for smart, happy home buying. According to Professor Warren, there's essentially five simple rules. Pay off your debt before you buy a house, and that essentially means your steal from tomorrow unsecured debt that you have. Rule number two is save until you have at least 10% for a down payment, and it's better yet to have 20%. Her third rule is buy a home you can afford. The fourth rule is get the cheapest mortgage you can get. And the fifth rule is buy a home that really makes you happy. The important thing to remember is that a home isn't just an investment for your money. A home can be an expression of who you are, the cozy cottage, the formal Victorian, or the hip bachelor pad says a lot about what makes you tick. A house may be a place to start a marriage, a place to raise children, or a place to grow old in. A good house is like a good shoe. It should fit you. Your home will affect your every single day, so use your head and your heart. When it comes time to choose, buy a place where lots of sun shines through the windows or where a cozy glow makes you feel safe. That's completely up to you. Buy a home where the neighbors seem friendly and the kitchen is charming. Never forget that your home is a place where you live, and we want you to make the most out of that living. Now that we've done all of those points, we're dealing with the buts. You're armed with the facts. You're ready to go out there and buy the home of your dreams. Or if it's the situation, you have to wait a couple of years until you're ready. Once you are motivated and your mind is made up, then comes the actual buts. Your real estate agent, your mortgage lender, and even your dear relatives will be bursting with a load of buts. But, a zillion reasons why saving your money and buying what you can afford is a bad idea. A zillion reasons why you should act right now before you have any time to think it through. So, when the buts get you down, Professor Warren has a few answers to steel your resolve. But if you want to build real wealth, you need to start now. That's what people will tell you.
5 years ago, this place went for $200,000 and now it's worth $1 million. Housing appreciation has become a beloved American story, and there is just enough truth in it to keep the myth alive. The cheerleaders for the myth, however, are those that make the money from it. Real estate agents, mortgage brokers, and bankers all make big bucks when people buy fast at any price. This is the cast of characters most likely to be hollering. The market will always go up, and you can make millions. Even pocket calculator, sharp pencil types seem to get a little drunk on housing prices. Seemingly sensible, well-respected financial advisors get all gaga over housing. These are some quotes from some best-selling financial advice books. Should you wait to buy a home? The answer is unequivocally no. Don't wait, do it now. No down payment? Borrow from your retirement plan. Try the mommy and daddy bank. And another one is, you aren't really in the game of building wealth until you get in the real estate game. My single biggest regret is I didn't buy sooner. With that kind of advice, is it any wonder that perfectly reasonable people can get caught up in the frenzy? All of us know someone who, in the murky past, paid $10,000 for a house that is today worth $500,000. Amelia Tiagi lives in Los Angeles, where housing prices rose a whopping 29% in a single year when she was buying. With numbers like that, it can seem like home ownership is the working man's best path to riches. The footnote to that story is that that was 10 years ago. The market there has completely reversed in recent years. But even then, the reality was a lot less exciting. On average, home values usually rise at roughly the same pace as inflation. That means that putting your money into a home is a little better than putting it into a passbook savings account, but not nearly as good as putting it into the stock market. That is, if your goal is just money. So for example, if you had bought a typical $100,000 home 25 years ago, today you would own a home worth $308,000. Not bad, or at least it seems so. But if you had put that same money in the stock market 25 years ago, today you would have over $1 million, and you wouldn't have paid for one single roof repair to keep your fund going. Moreover, while there have been some phenomenal run-ups in home prices, there, as we all know, have been some phenomenal crashes, and that's really where the current market stands. For example, between 89 and 93, the value of a typical home, when adjusted for inflation, dropped 7%, and many cities have experienced much bigger real estate crashes, as we've seen in the last decade. Elizabeth Warren bought a house in Austin, Texas for $204,000, only to get a job in Philadelphia 3 years later. It took her 16 months to sell the house, which meant they had 16 months of trying to cover two mortgage payments every month. The final price they received, $167,000. No one sells you a house with a guarantee that prices will always rise and markets will always stay hot. The best reason for owning a home is not so you can resell it for a bunch of money. At best, making big money is a long shot. Certainly nothing you should gamble a third or more of your paycheck on every month for the next 30 years. The best financial reasons for home ownership are, one day you will get your house paid off and you can live rent-free for the rest of your life. Two, owning your own home is a great safeguard against inflation. Rents keep rising, but a fixed mortgage is just that, fixed. And three, over the long run, the money you would have spent on rent goes toward building something valuable. If you are trying to double your money, go to the racetrack or the casinos. Home ownership has some ups and downs, but over time, it is more like passbook savings. A respectable return on your investment, but not an exciting bet for the high rollers. If you need to wait a few years while you save for your down payment and pay off your debt, don't worry. You'll still have plenty of time to get on the wealth-building train, and you'll do it from the strongest possible place. And I'll return to these concepts after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. The next but that you get from people is, rent is a waste of money. The logic here seems like a rock solid. At the end of the month, you have nothing to show for all that money you just spent on rent. Of course, the same would apply to your heating bill and your water bill and your food bill. At the end of the month, there are a lot of things you pay for that you don't have anything to show for, nothing except that you lived your life. When you paid your rent, you got what you needed, a roof over your head. Rent is no different from food, but no one is suggesting you buy a cow. Consider the math of buying a home. If rent is a waste of money, then presumably the money you put into owning your home is not wasted because it goes towards something valuable. But how much of that money actually goes to your personal bottom line? The fact is, not much. If you buy today with no down payment, for the first several years that you own your home, more than 90% of your payments will go to interest, fees, taxes, and insurance. That money will be just as lost as the money you have spent on rent, if you were renting. In the early years of home owning, renting can look about the same to your wallet. Over the long run, it is generally wiser to own your home than to rent because a part of your money goes towards something valuable, although in the early years it's only a very small part of your money. But that's over the long run. In the short run, it really doesn't make much difference whether you rent or own. If you wait a year or two until you are financially stronger, a bigger part of what you pay each month will go to your bottom line, not the mortgage companies. The wait will be worth it. Then another but you might hear is, but everyone should own a home. Here's a quick test that Elizabeth gives. What do you do when the toilet overflows? Call the landlord, find a plunger. If your answer was call the landlord, home ownership may not be right for you, at least not right now. Home ownership can be a lot of work, and if you just don't feel like taking it on, then renting may be the better bet. If you move around a lot, home ownership probably isn't worth the hassle. You can be forced to sell on short notice just when the market is in the doldrums. Total expenses, real estate commissions, closing costs, inspection fees, and the rest average 9% of the sale price of the house, so you can be left deeply in a hole. Also, if you live in a market where a home costs more than a Boeing 747, renting may be the only prudent decision, at least for now. Some markets get badly overheated, and waiting for them to cool off a bit may make sense. Before you sign up for 30 years of payments, it is okay to take a deep breath and ask whether home ownership is right for you, right here, right now. This may not be the time or place, and it is perfectly fine to pull back from buying if you decide you're just not quite ready. Another but is, but prices are rising so fast, if you wait, you'll get priced out of the market. You might hear, it's a boom market, there are multiple bidders, the market is so hot no one can lose. That message is clear, the train is pulling out of the station, but if you run, you might just make it. This argument is doubly persuasive because it doesn't give you time to think. Just run or you'll miss it. An example is Gerard and Danielle. These people were new to the Bay Area when Danielle decided to attend a seminar on investing at her local bank. The seminar turned out to be a real estate marketing event full of testimonials on the phenomenal price increases over the past few years. Danielle was shaken by the seminar. She wasn't a risk taker, but what if they didn't buy? The speaker said over and over that people who don't get into the market now will be closed out forever. She and Gerard didn't want to live in an apartment for the rest of their lives, so she pushed Gerard to agree to buy a rambling old fixer-upper. And then, 5 months after they closed, Gerard's company was bought out and he was transferred to Chicago. Danielle wasn't worried about finding a new job, and she actually looked forward to living in Chicago. But in a blink of an eye, they didn't need a house in the Bay Area. The really bad news came from the real estate agent. It seemed the market had cooled off and that fixer-uppers are moving slowly. Now they were caught. The agent's estimate for what they could get was about 10% below what they paid. And closing costs would be another 9%. And because they really needed to move fast, the agent suggested another 10% reduction in price. 4 months later, they sold the house, borrowing an additional $44,000 to pay off the mortgage on the house they no longer owned. 4 years later, they were still living in an apartment and still working off the debt from their first home. Hot markets are about hype, and hype can be expensive. If the market cools off and you need to move, you'll be stuck with the mortgage payments. The real estate agents and the mortgage brokers won't give you a dime if you get in trouble. So figure out what you can afford and stick to your guns. If that means waiting until the market cools down and your savings fatten up, don't worry about it. Just remember what you already know. On average, home prices rise about the same pace as inflation. There may be a run-up right now, but odds are in your favor that it won't last very long. When the time is right, you can find a great house and sleep a lot better, knowing that your money is in balance and your home is secure. And when you hear the hurry-up hype, just nod your head and smile. You'll be fine, no matter what the market does. Now let's review this a bit. The top myths about buying a home. Myth 1. You should buy a home now. Fact is, you should buy a home when you're ready. Number 2, myth, if the bank approves you for the mortgage, you can afford the home. Not even close. Fact is, banks are out to maximize their profits, period. You must calculate what you can really afford. Myth 3, mortgages are all alike, so there's no need to shop around. The fact is, anyone who doesn't shop around for a mortgage is asking to get fleeced. Myth 4, you can trust your real estate agent to look out for your interests. Remember, the fact is, your real estate agent gets paid to look out for the seller's interests, not yours. Another myth is, everyone should own a home. The fact is that home ownership is great for some people, but actually not right for others. Myth 6 is, responsible people don't lose their homes in foreclosure. The fact is, hardworking people lose their homes in foreclosure every day, and the picture is getting worse. Myth 7 is, there is no point in saving for a down payment. The fact is that a down payment can save you tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Myth 8, you can pay off your credit cards after you buy the house. The fact is, you will save money and make yourself safer if you pay your steal-from-tomorrow debts before you buy. In other words, your unsecured credit. Myth 9 is, you can make big money buying houses and flipping them quickly. The fact is, anyone who needs to sell quickly can lose a lot of money. Myth 10 is, rent is wasted. The fact is, rent puts a roof over your head. And the last myth is, real estate prices always go up. And the fact is, we all wish. And I'll return to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Home ownership is one of life's great adventures. With luck and a little careful planning, your home can become a cornerstone of your financial plan and the site of your happiest memories. For Russell and Diana, home ownership wasn't exactly trouble-free. They look back today and laugh about how many times they wondered if they could make it. Diana tells about the day they moved in when their 7-year-old son decided that he could climb the red oak on the edge of the property. Everyone was watching the movers, so no one saw Jeremy make the climb, but they heard him fall, slipping off the lower limb, hollering all the way to the ground, where his arm made a loud snap. Jeremy was still wearing the cast when a rumbling noise woke them up one night. Russell ran to the backyard just in time to see the earth open up and their septic tank explode as a smelly, dark-colored ooze rolled across the lawn. Then came the real shock. When the weather got warm, they learned that the next-door neighbors were nudists, a discovery Jeremy made just before he fell out of the oak tree, again, and broke his wrist. Russell cut the oak tree back, and things settled down for the next few years, until Diana installed a 24-hour light in the little lean-to shed in the backyard where she was trying to grow seedling vegetable plants. A few days later, the police rapped on the door. Apparently, they thought Russell and Diana had gone into the marijuana supply business. Through it all, they repainted the house, added a new baby, and kept making payments. Once they had recovered from the initial moving and closing costs, they started adding extra money to every monthly payment. By the time Jeremy was a senior in college, the family had paid off their mortgage. They owned their own piece of land, oak tree, septic tank, lean-to greenhouse, and all. Home ownership was a lot of work, but for them, it was well worth it. Most of us do believe in home ownership, the kind that comes with a smile. All you're worth is your way to buy a home, pay it off, and keep on smiling. If you've been following the All Your Worth system, your plan for a lifetime of riches should be well on track by now. You've worked hard to bring your money into balance. You've created a plan to make your money last a lifetime. You're building a security fund and moving toward a future that will be richer and more secure. But you know, and we all know, that sometimes things don't go according to the plan. Sometimes, even when you are doing your best to put everything together, the pieces just don't work. Maybe you get laid off and it takes months to find another job. Or maybe you get divorced and your ex leaves you with the cranky cat and a pile of bills. Or maybe your business partner takes off to get in touch with his inner wildebeest, or maybe a refrigerator falls on your foot. These things do happen. There are times when bad things happen to good people, times when it seems like you just can't catch a break. Most systems end with, here's the plan, and you're supposed to ride into the sunset. But Professor Warren thinks it pays to know some financial CPR. Just like real CPR, we hope you'll never have to use your financial CPR training. But we want you to have the knowledge just in case. We want you to know, somewhere in the back of your mind, that if things ever go really wrong, you are ready to handle whatever life throws your way. You have a real plan, a plan for good times and bad, a plan for life. So let's start talking about an emergency backup plan. Any CPR instructor worth her salt will tell you that the most important step in saving someone is to prepare for an emergency before one arises. Know how to recognize the danger signs, learn the steps, and run through some practical drills. There may not be time to get out the instruction manual when a person is turning blue, so it is a good idea to give it some thought now when everyone is breathing just fine. The same lesson holds true for financial protection. Financial CPR is about creating a strategy for what you will do if something goes wrong. It boils down to one question. What will you do in a financial emergency? There are four steps to create your own emergency backup plan. They are: spot the dangers, make a list of wants you could cut, make a list of must-haves you could cut, practice every year and before any major purchase. Now, what do those mean? Spot the dangers. You know what we're talking about, the scary places where you might be vulnerable. You know they're there, but it's more comfortable to look away. Maybe you worry about your health, or maybe you worry about your job. We want you to do something that may feel a little unnatural and a little frightening. We want you to look those worries square in the face. This isn't just about giving a bad case of insomnia. We want you to focus on what you can do to make some things better and to worry a little less. So, for example, suppose you worry that your job could disappear. That may be a fact of life, but there are things you can do now to prepare yourself. Do a little online job hunting and dust off your resume and send it out to a few places just in case. Or perhaps you are concerned about your parents' health. Now is a good time to talk with them about their wishes and maybe help them get long-term care insurance. Spot the vulnerabilities and think about them now when you have plenty of time to take steps to protect yourself. If you see some real dangers lurking in your future, there is something else you can do now. Don't make it worse. Maybe you can't find a better job right now, but you also know that this isn't a good time to take on a brand new car loan. If your folks are getting along in age, this might not be the time for you to move. We hope things will stay perfect, but life isn't always so smooth. So find the time to review the possibilities so you can protect yourself just in case. Jot your ideas down on a sheet of paper. Include the possible vulnerabilities and your ideas for what you might do. Writing it down will make it real. And point number two is make a list of wants you could cut. Ask yourself, if something went wrong, which wants would I cut first? The point here is not to get rid of the want spending right this minute. Just the opposite. As long as you're working and everyone is healthy, you should keep enjoying your wants to the fullest. Just be prepared, so that if the need ever arises, you'll be ready to move fast. This is where all the hard work you put into your getting your money in balance pays off. You've broken the credit card habit, and you've gotten really, really clear on what you need and what you can live without. So take a moment to think it through. What would you cut first? What would you cut second? For example, you might decide that at the first sign of trouble, you should start cooking every night and skip the trips to the restaurants. Or maybe you should cancel your cell phone or get rid of cable TV. Who needs 154 channels anyway, right? Ultimately, if things ever got really tough, you would probably cut all of your wants. But for now, think of the cuts that hurt the least, so you're ready to trim if the need ever arises. This is also a good time to make sure that you can make these cuts. If you think you can live without your cell phone, then make sure that you aren't trapped into a 2-year contract. Likewise, find out if there is a penalty for canceling your satellite dish. With a little preparation now, you will be able to respond lightning quick if the need ever arises. And we will continue in the next program. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.